Good evening. It's been good to be home here the last couple weeks and for this time of the year. And it's been good to see you all. I just want to, I thank the Lord for our church. I can't really say this church because it's our church. It's the Lord's church. And I praise the Lord that I guess about 14 years ago, he brought us here. Almost 15 years ago, he brought us here and got us saved and got us trained and sent out for the ministry. Just want to thank the Lord for that and thank the Lord for how he's used so many different one of you all in our lives. And I want to apologize right now. I've been speaking Spanish all day, and I know I'm going to have trouble. And so we have some of our brothers from the church in Temuco are watching tonight, and I'm gonna salute them in Spanish if that's okay. Saludos, hermanos, en Temuco, Chile. Es un placer de ustedes están escuchando nosotros ahora, y es un bendición. Y les extraño mucho, y mi deseo es de estar con ustedes. Y este mensaje de yo voy a predicar es el mismo que yo he predicado esta mañana para ustedes. Y nada más. I told them that it was a pleasure that they're watching here tonight, and that the message I'm going to preach is the same message I preached to them this morning. Before we left the house, Elizabeth and Mason said, "What do you think, about half an hour?" I said, "Well, it took 2 hours this morning. So, you all just need to buckle up. It'll be okay." If you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn to Jeremiah, Jeremias, Jeremiah chapter 17:17. And we'll go ahead and we're going to read a few verses here. And then we'll just go ahead and just get into the message. And I could talk more and just waste time, but we'll just go ahead and just get started here. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 1 says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Wilt their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt continue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in a land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever." You remember how Brother Danforth said, sometimes we just need to cry for the lost. Listen to that. It's kindled a fire which shall burn forever. It's important that we get the message out. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray. Kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this night. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we have here to be in your word. Father, I thank you for speaking to my heart through this passage and through just this book. And I pray that, Father, that you would bless our services tonight, Father. I pray that you'd bless your word tonight, Father. Please just use your word tonight. Use your servant, Father, please. Just bless each and every person here tonight and those that are listening, Father, please. Please be with our pastor, Father. Heal him up and just bless him, Father, in a great mighty way, Father, please. We want to thank you for him. I ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You all may be seated. You know, we all know Jeremiah. He was a prophet in Israel. And, you know, we can read verses, Jeremiah chapter number 1. And we can see when he was a prophet there in Israel. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests which were of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year, Zedekiah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, and to the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So he was a prophet during a pivotal time in the nation of Israel up until they were taken into captivity. You know, his ministry was marked by preaching against sin and preaching against trying to get the people to repent. Do you understand? I mean, he was so burdened, and God had placed such a burden on him that he constantly preached on how they should repent from their idols, they should turn from their wicked ways, and just constantly preaching these things. Because that was the message that God had for that people. It was very important that they turn. Why? Because he was a prophet. He preached until, you know, he was there until they were taken off into captivity. You know, when preachers preach, I've been told this, we preach against sin, we preach repentance. You know, in Spanish it's arrepentidos y creer. You need to repent and believe. We preach repent, we preach against sin, we preach these things. And some people, it's when people don't want to get right, when people, they want to critique and do stuff like that. When they don't want to get right, they say that we're mean. You just have a mean spirit, a critical spirit. Well, that's not love. What is love then? If not, I'm not willing to tell someone, hey, you're on a wrong path. Hey, the path that you're going down, hey, the road that you're going down, what you're doing is going to lead to destruction. Is that not love? The Bible says if we spare the rod, we hate our child. So if we take that and just apply it to preaching repentance, if we spare preaching repentance, we hate people. If we don't preach it, if we don't tell folks, there's a destruction coming. You know, God is going to destroy, and He doesn't want that. What's the proof that God does not simply want man's destruction? The cross! It's what Christ did on the cross for us. That's proof that God does not want to destroy. He doesn't. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that not right? So we need to preach. We need to preach the same things that Jeremiah preached. Against the same things Jeremiah preached. We had a good time listening to the preaching this week. We started last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before that in church in a missions conference, and we got to be there every day, and we got to be here every day. I ended up getting a phone call Friday night in the parking lot from one of our men, and ended up being. But I listened to the last part of the sermon in the car. But it's good to be under the preaching of the Word of God, to hear that. But we need to be in our devotions also. And I know that that's good preaching. And hey, I know that it's good preaching. Hey, we need to be under the Word of God. Amen. I can get a whole bunch of amens. But we need to be in our daily devotions, seeking our manna. We need to be doing that. So Jeremiah here, listen to what's written here. It says here in verse number 1, it says the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of the heart of their heart and upon the horns of their altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. You know, hey, this thing is so important. This description here that about the sin of Judah. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. A pen of iron with a point of a diamond. Hey, that's a pretty strong pen, don't you think? I mean, think about how serious this is. This description of what their sin is. Their sin is written. You know, there's books of works that they're going to be opened at the final judgment, correct? Their sin, all of our sins, all of our actions are written. Here it says the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and a point of a diamond. It's written upon the tables of their hearts. They can't get away from it. The only way to get away from it is to repent and return to the Lord, their God. This is Judah. This is the nation of Judah. It's not like they don't know. It's not like we're going into a heathen land. They've never heard the name of Jehovah. They never heard the name of Jesus. They've never heard anything about God. These people knew God. They had the Word of God. They had a temple. They had all these different things. And they departed from God. And God says here, their sin is written with a pen of iron. The point of a diamond. It's graven upon the table of their heart. They're not going to be able to get away from it. And neither are their children. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountains in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. You know, they had fruit. They had everything that they needed. It is the promised land, right? Is that what it was called? The land of milk and honey. What were they lacking? Absolutely nothing. They're lacking revival, spiritually speaking, but physically, they had everything they could ever want. You know, this is, if we want to apply this the way that we would apply it to the brethren in Chile, this is many of us. What do you lack, brother, sister? What do you not have the power to go out and buy right now that you actually need? Can you go buy the food you need to eat supper tonight? You have a place to live? You have a bed to go sleep in? What do you lack? Nothing. Because, you know, God has provided everything. But do you understand that we can get lax and we can get complacent in the things that we have? I mean, you think about what Brother Danford said about the children of Israel. All they had to do was go out every morning and get manna and make some bread. And they had it. Angel's food, right? And that does it say somewhere like that? Something like that? They ate angel's food? They had these things. Just daily go get it. That's all they had to do. Go gather it. Here, woman, bake some bread. Right? Okay, here, let's make some bread together. But the thing is, and they got sick of it. Oh, this light bread. You know, if we're not careful, we'll get sick of our manna in our daily devotions, and we'll just be checking them off. And it'd be like, well, the preacher can't preach against me because I read the Bible this morning. And if that's all it's for, what are you getting? You need to still do it. But search for something. Do you understand you'll get something out of the Word of God if you go looking? Isn't that amazing? I mean, you all, there's people in here that have been Christian all, you know, for many, many years. Not all your life. You can't be a Christian all your life. But I've been saved for, since 2008. How many years is that? 12 years? I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. I really, literally, I don't. But it's more than 12. I don't know how many times it is, but I always am finding something. It's not because there's something else in there. It's because my heart's in a position to where it can receive something else. And so we see these folks here. They had everything, and they turned from the one true God, the one that had saved them. And they turned to idols. They were, you know, hey, their sin was so bad that they were burning their children to the idols. Well, we'd never do that. You'd be surprised what people would do, Christians will do, when they get into sin and they won't repent. There's nothing depraved, so depraved that we could not do it. The thing here is it had affected the children, it affected them. Their sin was written, it was a grave thing. And he's been trying, I mean, for 16 chapters he's been preaching, repent. Repent. Turn from the idols. Turn from what you've made with your hands. Turn from it. He's been preaching this. And it says here, we go on in verse 4, it says, and thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage. He's going to take them out of the land that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. He's saying, hey, he says, I'm going to put you into captivity in a place that you don't even know. And hey, that's where sin will lead us, to a place where we don't even know. It can lead us to a place that I've never thought it would be there. But look at where they're headed, and the preachers tell them, hey, listen to me. You need to repent. He's telling them and telling them. In verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed is that man. Cursed. Cursed is that man. You know, well, how do we apply that to today, brother? We don't have idols. We're not burning candles to Mary. We're not doing these different things. Hey, but listen, our idols, what does it say there? It says, here, it says, for thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. When we start trusting in man more than we do God, it's an idol. And maketh flesh his arm. You want to know something? When we first got the chili, y'all know, y'all read the letters. Nothing went like it was supposed to. Absolutely nothing. The way I thought it was supposed to. But I believe it went the way that God wanted it. But, you know, in going through that, we went there, we thought, hey, we're going to have a house ready. I'm going to be able to move my family right into a house, buy some stuff, and we'll get in there and start living, start learning Spanish. House wasn't ready. Couldn't hardly buy anything. Couldn't get around. Ended up having to do all the work to the house ourselves in a foreign land, not knowing anything. You know, I don't know. I don't think I told you all this. I don't know. But one day, I needed a gas can. And I went around all around Lincoln, And I knew enough to say, bidon de benzina, a gas can, basically. They were like, what are you talking about? I want to buy a gas can. I just want to buy a gas can. And so I went around, and finally somebody told me, we don't buy gas cans here. We use the Coke bottles. What do you want to spend money on a gas can for? And I'm like, well, that makes sense. Or milk jug. They have a thing like a milk jug, but they don't sell milk in jugs. It's like a milk jug. We use these things. I was like, well, that's what I'm going to use. And so then when we moved to Temuco, we were at it's a place just like Lowe's, and they had gas cans there that were red, had the little yellow nozzle on, and I bought one. I didn't even need it. But I bought it. But what I'm saying is we can make all the best plans and we can do all these different things, but if the Lord isn't in it, if my confidence is in what I have done, then it's cursed. Because later on I can say, look what I did. Instead of saying, look at what the Lord did. Look how the Lord guided me. Look how the ideas that the Lord gave me. Look at what the Lord's doing and what He's continuing to do. I believe that's the way to say it. We can make the best plans. We can have all these things. You know your job? If I'm counting on my next paycheck to survive and not counting on the Lord that provides that paycheck, then something's wrong. My focus or my the way I'm looking at it's not correct. Do you understand? He's going to provide. And we can't do stupid stuff. We just can't. We can't be like, oh yeah, hey, let's just do this. No. You know, we need to be guided by the Lord and make good plans with His wisdom. And our faith is in Him. And maybe even have backup plans from the Lord. You get what I'm saying? But the thing is, it's where is our faith? Because, hey, it may be okay for now, but in a little while, it'll be like, well, I did that. You know, I've heard testimonies before that we made good decisions here, and it provided here. Praise the Lord. It's better to say, I believe, man, the Lord allowed us to make a good decision here, and then He used that in the future. Because, hey, if you got a good idea, listen, you ain't smart enough to have it anyway. It's the Lord. It is the Lord. But here we see, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. When you start trusting in man, when you make the arm of flesh yours, then it's not going to be too much longer, you're going to depart from the Lord. You're going to be saying, I did that. And that's not the case. We need to have our confidence, and everything that we do needs to be in the Lord. And I'm not, don't be misquoting. Well, Brother Pittman says we don't have to do anything. The Lord said, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to pray. We need to be patient. We need to make good decisions based upon what the Bible says, with good counsel according to what God wants and what is God's will, and then praise Him for it. But it works out, it's a lot easier to do that when nothing goes right. We need to have faith in Him, or we'll be cursed. Look at verse 6. Here's an example. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. You know, I asked the folks this morning in Chile, where's this verse at? It's Retama. Pues será como la retama en el desierto. And I asked them, what's that word retama? It's heath. I'll ask you all, what's that word heath? I can interact with them a lot more. It's, you know, I had to look it up because I was like, I have no idea what that is. It's not hearth. It's not a fire, right? It's not, you know, heathen or anything like that. It says heath. You know, if you look that up, it's an overgrown area. Or if you look it up specifically, it's plants that are used when they're dry to make brooms. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. You know, that's pretty neat. And then I got to thinking, well, that's what would happen to a plant if it was in the desert, because it wouldn't have any water. And, you know, then I got to thinking a little bit more. You know, use that, make a broom, and we clean stuff. You know, a lot of times we can learn a lot about the heathen's example, about what not to do, and we can clean our lives up a little bit with that broom that we've made. But here he says it's going to be something dry. It's going to be like a dry plant that's going to be used to clean up stuff. And he says, and they shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. Because they're not going to be around anymore. They're going to be dead. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. In a place where God's not. That's what's going to be this person that puts their faith in what they can do. You know, so he goes on here. And that's all the negative stuff right there for a little bit. We'll have some more negative. Don't get worried. We'll have it. But here we see that this is what's going to happen. Their sin is written like a diamond. Hey, look at all the bad stuff they're doing. Jeremiah's been preaching. And he tells us what they're going to be like. But then in verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is that man whose hope the Lord is. He is our hope, is he not? Hey, when we're going through something that's not going according to plan, where's your hope? In plan B, Brother Pittman, or in plan C or D? No, in the Lord. And maybe he'll give us a plan B, C or D, or all the way down to Z, whatever, and then AA and then BB. I don't know. Sometimes it happens like that. But the thing is, it's our trust is in the Lord. Because he can't. Hey, you want to know something? When we have all these problems and everything, what's he trying to teach me? What's he trying to show me in my life that I need to correct or get out of my life? Because there's probably something. Or maybe he's using that to help someone else. And my testimony through the problems and through these things is going to help someone else. We don't know. But our faith needs to be in the Lord, because he can make it good. He can turn all things good, can he not? To them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. He can do those things. And we see here, we see in verse 7, blessed be the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall. He's not going to be like the heath in the desert. He's going to be like something else. He shall be like the tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's how blessed we are. It's blessed enough that there's a drought. I'm by the living water, man. Well, this is going on. Hey, listen. You know, hey, our leaves are going to remain green. We're going to be able to bear fruit. We're going to have, it says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's the man that puts his trust in the Lord and not in the arm of flesh. Of course we all know that, right? But we don't live it. You know, how many times are we destroyed, or we so worried, and then we have to get right with the Lord when something doesn't happen according to the way we want it, or this just isn't the situation. I just don't like it. What am I going to do? What's the first thing we should do? Get on our knees. Lord, help me. Show me. I don't understand what's going on here, but I know that I'm not out of your will. Or maybe you got something in your life. Lord, I'm getting this right now. Help me. You know, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of our sin. He's faithful to do that. Lord, help me. Call out to Him. Is that not what Jeremiah has been preaching these 16 chapters? Repent. Repent. Turn to God. Call upon Him. He can do it. That's, if you think about this, the promises that we have are just you know, they're beyond description. And then when we see God work those out, the promises that we have, and we see that's a promise of God. I see how God worked in that. You know, we were living in that first town in Loncoche. We lived there for about a year and a half, and it was not a very good town. It was a very dark place. I mean, it was more dark than what I ever thought any place could be. I mean, dark spiritually, dark physically, everything. I mean, and there were some problems there that were just God knows. And we continued to work. Even there, in that darkness and with those folks, we got to see a few folks get saved there and in another town. And so we were just serving, and we started working in another town and started just trying to plug away, do Bible studies, trying to get men together, trying to get people saved. And God blessed all that. But then He moved us because of a problem. Not that Tito's a problem, but my wife got, you know, she was pregnant with Titus. And, you know, one day, one morning, we thought we lost the baby. We had to drive an hour and a half to the hospital. That was the longest hour and a half in my entire life. And so when we got there, you know, the doctor calmed us down and everything. And those doctors there, they're just straight to the point. And they were like, he was like, you know, because of her age, I mean, he was just straight to the point. And because of this other different things, you know, you all need to live closer. And I was like, well, okay. And you know, the Lord we had been contacted by a man a couple months before that to start Bible studies. And when we moved, we had a group started in the city that we moved to, Temuco. God did that through a problem. I didn't know God was leading that direction. I didn't want to live in the big city. It's a city of 400,000 people. I grew up on a farm in southeast Missouri. That's totally different for me. I mean, it's way different. You can't do nothing outside. I mean, and then there, your properties, they'll measure, you know, your houses will be on a property that measures maybe 10 meters by 25 meters. That's not very big. It's not. The whole property is maybe 2,600 square feet, and then you have a house on it. That's way different than what I was raised and brought up. But God knew what He needed to do in our lives. And God used those problems. And, you know, we just stayed faithful to Him. And He made it to where we were bearing fruit. He did. Not us. Because of a problem. And, you know, I don't think I've ever told you all this. I told another church. I was talking about you all behind your back the other day. You know, you all sent money to us for... to buy a generator because we kept being out of power. And so in the process of moving and everything, we were going to have our first Sunday with this group, which is Calvary Baptist Church in Temuco now, the beginning of that. Our first Sunday meeting officially. And guess what happened at about 2 in the morning? The power went out. And when you have no power where we were living, that means no power, no water, no nothing. And you want to know what I did? I went to the shed and got the generator that just this church bought us. And I plugged it in and I started it up. And we had electricity to have water and everything, get ready for church and go to church. God worked through another problem beforehand. You understand that? I don't think you all understand how big that is. That one purchase that you all made that affected us. And then that same generator went... You know, we loaned it to a brother and sister in Temuco. They didn't have running water or electricity in their home. And we were able to loan that to them. They used it for a few months every single day. And God blessed them. And that testimony, part of that testimony, got Daniela saved. The Lord saved her. But she said, you don't do that here. People don't loan things to other people here. I said, well, the Lord gave it to me. I said, and you're in need. We're going to loan it to you. We expect it back in the same condition or better than we loaned it. You don't do that here. And through all that, through that testimony and that, she got saved a few months later. God working through another problem when our confidence is in Him. But here's the thing. We have verses 9 and 10 to go through yet. We're back to the negative. Here it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things. The more and more, the more time I spend, you know, just being saved and everything, the more and more I see that that verse is true. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. You know, we look at this, you know, the heart and everything, and so we see that. We see that, when those heathens, when they're following their heart and stuff like that, that is so wicked. That is just so wicked. I just get sick of seeing that. But what about us, saved folks? How many saved people have you heard say, when they're making an unintelligent decision, I know I said that one word earlier, I apologize, but when they're making an unintelligent decision, I have peace in my heart. Or here, I guess my heart. Well, that's great, because the Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Why? Because the devil can influence it. My own flesh can influence it. You know, we see this not only in the hearts of folks. You know, I remember one verse in Proverbs says that the fool just lives to know his own heart or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know it. But then we had a presidential candidate here many years ago when they asked him about, well, how's your travels been around the United States? Well, I've learned a lot about my heart. I'm like, well, the Bible says. That's very interesting. So anyway, we see, that's a side note, I'm sorry. But the heart is deceitful above all things. Not only for the unsaved, the incredulous, the heathens, but for us, Christian. Turn to 1 Samuel. If I can find it. First Samuel. Primero de Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter number 26. You know, at the end of the chapter here, this is where David saw Saul taking a rest, they were sleeping, and he went over, stole his lance and his bottle of water, right? And so then Saul was talking to him. And here, it was starting verse 22. And David answered, said, behold, the king's spear. Let one of the young men come and come over and fetch it. And the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness for the Lord, delivered unto thee unto my hand today. But I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. So David here, this is David's testimony. David, his testimony when he's talking to Saul, he says, the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. David's testimony was, hey, listen, the Lord will render to every man according to his righteousness. In verse number 24, And behold, as that thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. So what's he saying? Who's supposed to deliver him out of tribulation? David or the Lord? David's testimony is the Lord. And Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So he had this spiritual victory here, because David could have killed that man right there. But spiritually, he had a spiritual victory. He said, "I'm not going to do this because it's not right." And even he had people egging him on, right? "Oh, come on, I'll smite him one time, and I won't need a second," right? You all know this passage. And so David had a victory. Well, then what's it say in verse number 1 of chapter 27? And David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall have spared me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, and so shall I escape out of his hand." Mountain? Valley. What's the difference? He said in his heart. A man after God's own heart said here, he said, and David said in his heart, "I'm going to perish. I got to get out of here." How many times do we do that? Well, once or twice. Every single one of us probably have personal testimony about that. And what was the difference between the high and the low? My heart. Because the heart is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, I know my heart. No, you don't. You don't. None of us do. But David did this. From high to low. And we see here the only difference was what he said in his heart, the conversation that he had in his heart. So every one of us are susceptible. It's not just those folks out there. It's us. Man, I made so many dumb decisions. I made so many dumb decisions training for the ministry. You know, only the Lord got us trained and got us out of here, man. I'm telling you. You all know some of them. But I so appreciate the fact that God allowed us to learn here. God allowed your kids to be turned over to us to teach. Woo. You're still suffering the consequences of that today, maybe. But God did that. God used all those experiences to get us ready for our experiences that we had in Chile, in the ministry. That's amazing. So we got to watch our hearts. The only time I ever had trouble was when I started saying stuff in my heart. When I started thinking about stuff in my heart. And it wasn't scripture. It was discontentment or other things in my heart. Our heart's this desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then he says here, just in case somebody says, "Well, that's right. Nobody can know a heart." God does. "And I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You know, this is pretty neat here. The heart, we understand that's our seed of personhood and everything. But he says, "I search the heart." He searches it. He looks for it. He's searching it out. He's looking for anything that he needs to get out of there. He's searching it. He can tell what's going on in our heart, right? And then he says something interesting here. He says, "I try the reins." It's an interesting English word there. I didn't know what that word meant until I learned it in Spanish. It's riñones in Spanish. Because I thought that word reins there meant like horse reins. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, man, he turn it this way or that way. God's proven that. He's trying that. And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, that sounds about right. But riñones is a word for kidneys in Spanish. If you look at this word reins, it's the inmost thoughts, feelings, the purposes of soul, my motives, the purposes. And it says here, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins. You know, God can tell. God's doing all these things. And it's very interesting to look at. That's our kidneys. What do our kidneys do? What? Filter what? Waste out of what? What's your heart do physically? It does what? Pumps blood, right? Does your heart care if the blood's dirty or clean? It's going to pump. Your kidneys have the job of cleaning. And they're taking out the bad stuff so it can salir or can exit the body, right? God proves that. Hey, if your kidneys aren't working right, you need to go to the doctor because you're going to be sick. Go have to do dialysis or something like that, right? You know, and people that have to do that at the hospital, you know, I can't remember how many times people had to come in a week, once or twice, or twice or three times a week or something like that. It's important that our kidneys are functioning correctly. You know, it's important that our purposes and that our innermost thoughts and our feelings and be right and clean and doing their job. It's important. I just thought that was a very interesting thing to look at. And I was like, you know, when I saw that, I was teaching somebody, I was teaching a young man, I was like, listen, the heart's wicked. Look at this. And God's trying the reins. And I was like, what's that word reins there for the horse's reins, you know? And it didn't exist. It said riñones. I was like, riñones? That's kidneys. What's up with that? It's important to do Bible study before you preach. You know what? Riñones. I was like, what? But this is important that we do this. God proves our motives. He proves our purposes. You know, and we're going to see fruit because of that. God's going to do that. You know, and there's people that say, well, God, the Lord's given me peace in my heart. He's God in my heart. I told the folks this morning in Chile, I told them I was sick up to here hearing that. That I have peace in my heart to do something that's against God's word. That's clearly against God's word. It's not one of those areas like, well, this brother, you know, it's like, this is not right. But I have peace. It's not from God. It's not from the Prince of Peace. But here, we see this in Jeremiah's, God's using him to write this down. And the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And he's talking to a bunch of folks that were supposed to be the people of God, and they had turned to idols, they turned to their own arm of flesh to take care of everything that they needed, and they forgot about the Lord, and they were living in idolatry. And God says, I search the heart. I try the reins. People always say, well, you don't know my heart. God does. He's trying it. He's searching it. And he's trying the reins. And so we see here this in the Old Testament. Something so important to this people that Jeremiah is trying to get to turn from their sin. And they don't. You know, unless we think that, well, that's Old Testament. Those people didn't have the Spirit of God living within them. Let's go and look at some stuff. You can look up that word reins. It's several times in the Old Testament and one time here in the New Testament. Revelation. Apocalypse. See if you can find it. Capítulo 2. Chapter 2. Revelation, sorry. Revelation chapter 2. Let's read verse number 18. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira, which is a lot easier to pronounce than the other word. It's Thyatira in Spanish. I was having trouble with that this morning. But and to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the God, the Son of God, who hath his eyes like the flame of fire, and his feet are like the fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. He's talking to a people. He says, I know these good things about you, and you're growing. Hey, he says, hey, your works now are more than they were at the first, than they were at the beginning. That's a good thing. That's what we want to see in our lives. The growing in Christ, producing more fruit, having more victories. Is that not what we want? That's what we want. And so he says here, he says, I know these things. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. You know, this woman Jezebel, she came in, she said, I'm a prophetess, and she started teaching, and she was seducing people to commit fornication. You know, physically speaking or spiritually speaking, probably both. And eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except that they repent of their deeds. What's God want? Them to repent. He doesn't want to destroy. He wants them to repent. And he says here, in verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches what? The reins and hearts. It's the same thing. That's cool. That one Hebrew word back there is now a Greek word here, which the definition is basically the same. The inmost thoughts, feelings, purposes of soul. That's really neat. Because God, we still have the problem today. When someone's trying to turn you from what is clearly God's will, and they're trying to turn you, they're telling you things, they're speaking in your ear, they're saying these different things to try to get you to turn from serving God, you better repent. Because God is going to judge that, and He's going to show it. Because He will judge. But I say unto you and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depth. Start over again, verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye already hold, that ye have already. Hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over nations. God has promises for us that I don't even understand that, to be honest with you. How's that going to work out? But it's a promise. We need to stay faithful to Him. And we need to keep our heart in check and to remember that my heart is deceitful above all things. Or my heart is desperately wicked. And I need to keep it in that thought in my mind to where I'm not following my heart. I'm following this. And that's a good amen. But we need to do it. We need to do it. We need to follow these things because He has promises for us. And our leaf, you know, like he said there, we're going to be planted by the river waters. And our leaf's not going to, it's going to stay green. And he's not going to keep us from bearing fruit. That's the good. That's a benefit. That's a blessing. We can end on a good note. But we need to turn from the other. Every one of us has got a heart. Why is this important? Because every one of us has got a heart. Every one of us has our purposes and our thoughts and our feelings. And if they're not Christ-centered for His honor and glory, then we need to get it right. That's all there is to it. So in all this, let me just ask you a question. Do you think, you don't have to, I don't want to hear an answer, please. Do you think that you could fall to a deception of your heart? If you think no, then is this verse correct or no? We need to, sometimes we just, we need, for us to see our sin, we need to get over our pride. We could, I could fall. Any one of us could. And we need to keep these things in check and receive the promises of God and help others to see the same thing, just like Jeremiah. Let's pray.